All right, let's go backwards. No, that was the visual cue for backwards. If you're listening on an audio recording, that didn't make any sense. It probably didn't make any sense here either. Anyone? That makes sense. I was back. It's really much easier to give thanks in troubled times after you've endured and passed through the troubled times. And this week's reading from Psalms, it's a great example of praising God in troubled times, but doing it after the troubled times are over. It's like, in the troubled times I praised you. Well, you're writing it afterwards and thinking. And a lot of times when you look back, things look a little more rosy than they did during the time. Not always. I have an example. Cassie one time went with me on a trip to the Boundary Waters. Canoe trip. Before the trip, I said, Cassie, you do not want to do this trip. You won't like it. But some people from the church said, you'll like this. Yeah, you should go. You should go on this trip with all the youth. You're going to have a blast. And so she did. And I said, you're not going to like it. During the trip, she's like, I hate this. You know, it smells. When you're walking, it hurts. Can't we just stay in the canoe all day? Well, you had to take the canoe, you know, in lakes, but then you had to carry the canoes and all of your stuff to the next lake, and sometimes it was further than other times. I wondered if, after the fact, she would think that it was kind of a good trip. Well, it's been 6 or 7, maybe 8 years since that trip. And if you ask Cassie today, did you like that trip to the Boundary Water? She says, no. Do you ever want to go back? No. So sometimes, looking back, it isn't so rosy, but it is always easier to give thanks to God for helping you make it through after the fact. And during the fact, it's, you know, when things are rotten. Well, I don't feel like giving thanks when things are rotten. I feel instead like shouting out, what are you thinking, God? Why in the world would you expect thanks for this? Yet it's really hard to thank God when all that seems to be present is depression and despair. When things are awful. And I know when I say that, it sounds really selfish. Poor me. I'm not getting everything I want, and everything isn't perfect. There's a new puppet voice. Yeah. And while I'm sputtering about how, you know, sputtering to God about how this terrible thing is happening to me, you know, I rarely have any kind of compassion for all whom God loves. And a little reminder, who does God love? Everyone. Remember this from last week, though? I said, emotions are worth having, even savoring. Emotions are worth addressing. So there's really no need to feel bad and then feel guilty about feeling bad. I think what we're called to do as followers of Jesus, it isn't to never have emotions, but it's rather to realize that we're not the only ones that are having the emotions. So that can be a comfort in knowing that others feel this way. When we feel rotten, you know, we're not the only people that feel rotten. And it could also lead us to places where we aren't so self-centered and instead live out love, compassion, and justice in all the world, even in the midst of our own stuff. Yes, we take care of ourselves, but it's not just about us, right? So going forward, I think that I can look to God in hope during the troubled times, and I can pray for justice for all whom God loves, even in the midst of my stuff. And I know I'm not going to get it right every time, probably not most times, but I can start there. I can start from a place where things seem really good and remember to live in hope when it's not. And I'm giving myself advice and trying to give everyone advice because it's hard to do. But at least when things are okay or good, you can think, all right, when things aren't good, I'm going to live in hope and remember that God's love endures forever. In most, if not every situation where things really stink, I think that's all that I've got. And if it's backwards, where I'm coming from a place where it was good and remembering the next time things are bad to give thanks to God and to live in hope, it's a start, right? So what if it's backwards? It's a start. And I wonder if that's what the writer of the psalm had. Only a start. That's all they had. This morning's reading, it's a celebration of deliverance from some awful situations. And there are some verses that I didn't read this morning. If you opened up the book, you probably saw them in there. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about where verses were missing, and they were important to the story, and they were taken out because they would probably be too controversial or something, or people thought they would be distracting. This week, it's not that that the words are distracting or controversial. I think that maybe the people who are deciding which Bible reading should we have, it's called the lectionary, and they picked the beginning and the end of this part of the psalm because it seemed redundant. But I don't think it's redundant. Listen to this. It says, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he shattered the doors of bronze and cut in two the bars of iron. There's something going on in this psalm. Folks were in bad situations. Some, it's because of bad luck. We can be in bad situations because of bad luck. Stuff just happens, right? Some, because of bad decisions. It says they did bad things and they were in bad situations. We can be in bad situations after we do bad things, right? You make mistakes or you do it on purpose, you're in a bad situation. Some, because of even worse decisions. Sometimes we make awful, awful, awful decisions. And what did the people do? They cried to God in their distress. There it is. Several times in the psalm, they cried to God in their distress, and God delivered them. There's that Bible theme. The meta-narrative, remember I've talked about that before? God creates, what do? We mess up. And then God redeems, or heals, and delivers. God does something good, what do? And God does something good. And how good are we at our job? Really good. And how good is God at God's job? Yeah. I also know that I have said many times before about the Psalms that they aren't good places to look in the Bible for promise verses. You know, things that say, this is true. This is something that you can trust. Because the Psalms are the raw emotions of different kinds of people from different situations, all kinds of different experiences and views. So they're not a great place to look at because there are psalms that don't say stuff like this. But when a psalm fits the meta-narrative, I think it's something that you can trust because here it is. We find celebration coming from a writer and a people who have experienced the theme of the Bible. It doesn't matter that they've made mistakes or done it wrong, even on purpose. It's right in there. God does what God does. Love and restore. And this chorus that keeps going in this, if we were singing this song, and there is a song, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. But this chorus that kind of goes on a little bit further, God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. That's this ongoing theme in this psalm. Can you imagine a congregation that keeps coming back to that, a people that keep coming back to that? So, you know, you take inventory, you say, do you not feel like giving thanks in all things? I don't. But God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Do you feel like shouting, what are you thinking, God? Why would you expect thanks for this? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Are you all out of compassion for others? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Do you feel like you're pretty much just going through the motions and none of this really matters at all? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Did you make a mistake this morning or do something really, really bad? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Did you say something hurtful today? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Did you make an offhand comment that probably was really offensive? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Are you going to make more mistakes today? Can I get an amen? God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Have I said it enough times that you have it memorized? You think so? Let's say it together then. God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, for your wonderful works. Amen.